Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When our patron saint, Gertrude the Great, was just about to begin her process of returning to dust, which is the process of dying, of all things she was tempted, and terribly so, by the devil. Why is it, children, that we pray for those who are ill, and especially for those who are dying? Well, that's not always, as some might think, so that they would get better. Sometimes that's not the case at all. What we're really doing in any case, whether or not our Lord means for them to get better, is to pray for them spiritually against the devil, who's always tempting people when they're sick, but especially on a deathbed, and he doesn't even respect the saints. What did he tempt St. Gertrude the Great to? He came and he taunted her. He accused her, her whole life long, of having given away too much to the poor souls in purgatory. She never did any prayers or made any sacrifices for herself, the devil said. And now you'll see, and now you'll see all that you're going to suffer when you die to make up for the sins, because you gave away all of your merits. Who do you think you are to offer up all of your sacrifices for souls you don't even know? And pretty soon, when you're in the flames of purgatory and forgotten, you'll be sorry. Well, when St. Gertrude heard the devil, and that's the case even with saints, much less with you and with me, why, she started to be afraid, and she grew a little bit sad and a little confused at the thought of the sufferings that probably would be awaiting her. But our Lord would not leave St. Gertrude in such a state, and he appeared to her. When he appeared, of course, the devil vanished. He appeared to her and said, "My daughter, why are you so upset? You should know that I appreciate your charity very much, so that now I release you from any suffering you may have had waiting for you in purgatory. And as I have promised a great reward for those who offer themselves for the salvation of their brethren, so your joy in heaven will be multiplied times 100. A hundredfold. All those souls whom you have saved will meet you shortly to bring you to paradise themselves." And when she heard this, St. Gertrude told everything that our Lord had just told her to all who were surrounding her deathbed. And with a big smile on her face, she gave up her soul and she went, as our Lord had said, to heaven. That's the reason why we pray for those who are dying, especially, so that they can conquer all of the confusion the devil might try to put into our hearts at that difficult time, and keep peace in our hearts and a smile on our face. The more generous we are in this life, the more we give away, the more will be waiting for us in the next life. That's why our Lord says in the Gospel, I just now sang to you in the Latin, that's why our Lord says, don't store up for yourself a treasure where a robber or a thief could break in, or where rust would come and consume it. Don't do that. Send your treasure ahead of you to heaven. Give it away. Especially, we're thinking this year, to the poor souls in purgatory. Why is it that you and I receive ashes on Ash Wednesday? Yes, it's true. It's a very salutary reminder of the fact that we do one day have to return to ashes and die. And so we should be thinking, as we're saying today in the sermon, about eternal thoughts and about being good and generous. And it is true, too, that the wearing of holy ashes is a symbol. And ashes will be given out again directly after Mass this morning. It's a symbol of doing penance, because of the idea that ashes come from burning something. And so all things in this world will one day be consumed by flame, so there's no sense putting our trust in them. We should get a head start doing at least a little penance now during Lent. But why is it that we wear ashes on Ash Wednesday, we Catholics? It's because centuries ago, if you committed a big sin, a mortal sin that people knew about, say you murdered someone or you committed adultery or you stole some great amount of money, well then, or you defected from the faith, you apostatized under pressure of persecution, why then, when you came to confession, you had to do a public penance, usually during Lent, and you weren't allowed to come into Mass or Communion. You had to stay outside on the porch of the church and fast and pray and wear ashes and sackcloth. That was the rule for centuries. Later on, then all of the Catholics, out of a sense of devotion, said, well, even though others don't know about my sins, I know I'm pretty bad, so I'll stay out there too. And someone else said, well, I'll stay out there too. And pretty soon, everyone wanted to receive ashes on Ash Wednesday, and it became the custom for all to do so. Not, of course, to stay out, but to come in, and indeed to try to come in more often to Mass during Lent as one of our Lenten practices. But that's the idea. Now, the souls who are public penitents, doing penance for their sins, who had to stay out, what should that make us think of? Yes, it makes us think of the poor souls in purgatory. They're still doing penance for their sins, and they have to stay out. The church stands for paradise, heaven, and they have to stay out of heaven until they've done all of their penance. Now, you and I can help them come in a little bit earlier, or even a lot earlier, if we do the penance for them. And as we do penance for them, why then, those are graces for us too, so that our purgatory time will be shortened or maybe cut off entirely, non-existent, as we saw with the story of St. Gertrude the Great. We, all of us, should associate ourselves this Lent with the poor souls in purgatory, just as centuries ago, Catholics used to identify themselves with the public penitents. It's no fun, it's a rather sad thing not to be allowed in, to have to stay outside, especially on a cold day, or I suppose if it were very hot too, and that too makes us think of the souls in purgatory. Let's go out to them, shall we? Let's bring them our prayers, what we're giving up this Lent, our extra masses, Holy Communions, Stations of the Cross, Rosaries, and fasting, and all of the rest to relieve them and to help them, so that we, who really are poor when you come and think about it, but who are rich in another way, are going to give everything to them, and they'll take care of us when the time comes. That's the lesson of Ash Wednesday, children. It's the lesson of Christianity, of the Holy Gospel itself. And let this be our program now for a very good Lent, giving everything to the holy souls, knowing that they in turn will take care of us when we are poor as they are now. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.